Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
I dare you. Watch us completely free on YouTube. YouTube.com/Stu does America. Be sure to subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Also, get your Stu Does America merch at StuDoesMerch.com. StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code STU10 for 10% off your entire order. Rob Eno is here to break down the mainstream media's death rattle. Donald Trump's confirmation hearings kick off for his next administration's staff. That's all going on, as we maybe you saw today, but we'll get into that in a little bit. We're going to start, though, by doing a post-DEI America. I like that because there's a question mark in the title of today's show. Why? Because you don't know which way it's going to go. Is it going to be post-DEI or is it going to be constant DEI? You don't know. And we'll reveal that at the end of the monologue. Or we'll have more questions than answers. But we're going to do one of the two. I want to bring you, though, back. I want to start today going backwards a little bit. I want to rewind your memory. Go back before the election. Go back before Afghanistan, before Joe Biden's election in 2020, you go back before the George Floyd summer. And I think a lot of times you think of DEI and you go back to the idea of the George Floyd summer, right? George Floyd, he's killed. There's outrage. There's riots. It's crazy. And the reaction to that was wild, right? It was like, we're sorry. I'm sorry, white person in Phoenix. What the hell did you have to do with it? You had nothing to do with it at all. This one guy was convicted of murder. That's the story. The story is not you who own a diner in Flagstaff. You didn't do anything. You don't need to apologize. People would put up, remember the black squares on Instagram, and people were constantly like walking up to random black guys in Walmart and apologizing to them for being white or something. I mean, that was a weird time. And I feel like it feels like a long time ago, first of all. But it also feels like a totally different world, doesn't it? And we're seeing now, of course, a lot of this falling apart. If you watch what's going on from day to day these days, you're seeing a lot of people saying, wait a minute, maybe we went the wrong direction there for a minute. But I want to go back even before that. I want to bring you back to April 2018. Do you remember what happened in April 2018? Probably not. There's been a few news stories since, but it was a big story for a week or two, and it happened at a Starbucks. Starbucks arrests spark outrage. None of the white customers were asked to leave. Do you remember this story? A couple of black guys go into a Starbucks. They want to use the bathroom. Remember this? Police said Starbucks manager called 911 on Thursday because the men refused to leave after trying to use the store's restroom without making a purchase. They were arrested for alleged trespassing. These two men claimed they were in Starbucks for a business meeting and were waiting for someone. Now, the fascinating part about this is they told the people at the restaurant, hey, we're not doing this. We're not going to buy anything. They were told that you can't stay here in our restaurant and use the bathroom if you're not going to buy something. Like, this is obvious. The manager was like, this stuff happens all the time, and it's got nothing to do with the skin color, of course, but you can't just use our restaurant, you can't use our facilities in this way. Like, you have to buy something. You want to buy something, you can sit here all day. We'll deal with that. You want to get your laptop open. I mean, I've done this at Starbucks. I go in there, you buy, maybe a little breakfast sandwich. I'm not a big coffee person. I don't really like any of their drinks, but I'll buy a water. I'll buy a breakfast sandwich. I'll sit down. I'll type away. If I have some writing to do or whatever, sometimes you like to be in that little world. Well, that's okay. But when you don't buy anything, it's not okay. As every person who's ever, seen a sign, customers only, everyone's seen no shirt, no shoes, no service. Like, there are some requirements for you as a customer to be able to stay in an establishment. Now, that is not a crazy idea at all. And so the appropriate thing to be, you know, what happened, and I think the police handled it totally fine. They came in, they said, look, if you're not going to leave, we've got a problem here. You're trespassing. We need you to leave. They said they were not going to leave. They got arrested for trespassing. Of course, the reaction to that should be obvious for the store. Hey, we are, our manager has never had any racist allegations against her. I believe it was a woman at the time. She did the right thing. She called these customers out. They wouldn't listen. She called the police. That was the right thing to do. Followed all of our policies at the time. And that is the way this wrapped up. We're proud of our employee. Maybe we'll give her a little raise. Instead, what they did is they blamed the employee. They called her basically a racist. I believe they fired her. I mean, it's some of the details. It's hard to even remember. But let me take you back to what else happened as it regards to this story. Men arrested in Philadelphia Starbucks reached settlements. So they got a bunch of cash for this. For not buying something and going into a store and then refusing to leave, they got cash. Robinson and Nelson agreed to a settlement with Starbucks for an undisclosed sum, which I'm sure was large, and an offer of free college tuition to complete bachelor degrees through an online program with Arizona State University that was created 4 years ago for Starbucks employees. In a separate deal, they got a symbolic $1 each from the city of Philadelphia, as well as a promise from officials to establish a $200,000 public high school program for young entrepreneurs. Now, you might say, okay, that's wild, right? Like, they broke the rules. They weren't in the right. The employee was in the right. The employee, by the way, was absolutely following the stated policy of the Starbucks. Like, she wasn't even making this up. She wasn't just annoyed by these two individuals. She was following the policy of the restaurants. So what did Starbucks do? Well, as I noted, they did not. They settled with these guys. They gave them a bunch of cash. But they went further. Think about this for a second. Do you remember this part of the story? Starbucks to close stores nationwide for racial bias training. Starbucks closed all of their restaurants to conduct racial bias training. Now, there was no sign of racism whatsoever when it came to this event. It wasn't one of those things where other employees later came out and said, by the way, she's always targeting black customers when they come in here. It wasn't one of those situations where, you know, they overheard racial slurs being spoken in the back. None of this was even accused. Like, there wasn't even an accusation of actual overt racism. There was just sort of this implied, well, you probably wouldn't have removed us if we were white. That's all it was. They closed down all of their restaurants for racial bias training. And when I was recapping this story, it hit me as like right in the face. God, that doesn't seem possible in today's world. And I thought, that's a really good feeling to have. This isn't like, oh, wow, well, this is crazy. And of course, this is what they do all the time. No, it struck me a totally different way. It struck me as, wait, wow, I can't believe that happened. I mean, can you imagine? Again, this is a liberal restaurant. We all know that this is there's no conservatives, you know, running this place. But even a left-wing restaurant, it seems crazy to close down, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 locations to conduct racial bias training. Like, it feels like that would be mocked out of existence if somebody tried it. And that's really, really good. It means we've come a really long way. We've come such a long way. The news today is tied to that 28 story and is tied to Starbucks. Starbucks is pulling back access for people who don't pay. That's right. They're starting to reverse those crazy policies they put in place afterward. Afterward, they actually put in place a policy that said, anyone can come in whenever they want and do whatever they want. You don't have to buy anything. Of course not. Everyone's welcome all the time. You just come into Starbucks and do whatever you want all the time. We swear we're okay. We're not racist. We promise. That was basically the policy after that incident, which again was not an incident. It was a totally made up, nonsensical incident that the media embraced because we were in the rise of that wokeness. And we hit 2020 and it peaked probably right in the days after George Floyd and the months after, when people were donating millions and millions, even billions of dollars to these anti-racist Ibram Kendi type programs related to Black Lives Matter and other organizations. And we have seen it falling off. And I think it's felt like it's fallen off a little bit since those times. But it doesn't seem even like the same country that would do something like closing all your restaurants for racial bias training. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's around the corner? But The good news is today, Starbucks is rolling back a policy that allows people to hang out there or use the bathroom without buying anything. Chain implemented the policy in 2018 following a national uproar, which didn't exist, when two black men who hadn't purchased anything were arrested at a Starbucks in Philly. The shift is part of a new code of conduct at Starbucks cafes. Among the changes will be the posting of signs banning discrimination and harassment, violence or abusive language, outside alcohol, panhandling, drug use, and other disruptive behavior. And I know you can see that and say, okay, well, they're still saying all the, well, we have to have no discrimination or harassment. Well, first of all, you shouldn't have discrimination or harassment. That just was, it doesn't need to be posted. Everyone knows that and shouldn't do it. Secondarily, and of course, harassment, by the way, is against the law. And a lot of discrimination is as well. Not all of it, but a lot of it is. Violence. We have to have a... You can't have violence in a Starbucks. Thanks for the posting, Starbucks. Guess what? The people who are committing violence in your place don't care about your posting. That's just dumb. But panhandling is a big one, right? Like, this stuff happens all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a, you know, a pharmacy or a restaurant or, you know, this happened when I was in New York City over a vacation. My son and I went on a New York City pizza tour, which I arranged to walk from pizza place to pizza place to pizza place. And like, I can't, like, people were, you know, homeless people coming into the pizza restaurant to harass people eating pizza in the restaurant to ask them for money. And it's like, as a business owner, this is not what you want. You want people to have a good experience in a restaurant, not one where they're like terrified of whether they take out money to give it to a random homeless people who might assault them and their children while they're in a pizza restaurant. That's not what you want. Well, panhandling no longer allowed inside of Starbucks. Now, will they enforce these things? I don't know. But I will say it's a massive change. You no longer can just go hang out at Starbucks. The policy has changed back to essentially what existed back before April of 2018. That's a really good thing. We're seeing more and more changes going this way. We don't know what the reasoning is exactly, but we can all kind of take a little bit of a guess. American Airlines' ESG investing strategy has violated federal law, says a judge. This is one of those things where a federal judge in one of the country's most foremost conservative district courts ruled Friday that American Airlines unlawfully incorporated environmental and sustainable governance, ESG, factors into its employee retirement plan. In a 70-page ruling following a four-day non-jury trial, Judge Reed O'Connor of the North District of Texas ruled that the airline violated its fiduciary duty of loyalty by letting asset manager BlackRock weigh environmental factors in 401k funds. So what they promise is, hey, this is your retirement. You get to invest it. And what we'll do is we'll hire somebody to manage this fund in a way that gets you the highest returns. And then in the middle of all that, they decided, well, what if instead we give it to solar companies, whether they're successful or not, because what we want is not the best returns, but returns that are good for the earth or whatever. Well, you can't just do that. And now they're getting slapped down in court. This is there's a piece by Chris Bedford up on the site, Blaze Media, of course, at theblaze.com, something you should subscribe to if you haven't already. There's plenty of road left for the pilots class action and others, but the implications are clear. ESG investing is no longer a safe space. Corporate directors and state officials looking to invest their 401ks will all be looking at their own vulnerability. This is a good thing, pushing back on companies like BlackRock that expose them to potential liability. The real battle is going to be in employment, but that's still a big news, even if it isn't over. And that's the thing. Why is this happening? Well, that's a kind of explanation number one. Legal threats against these companies. When these companies are terrified that they're going to get sued for their policies, they tend to change them to more fair, universal ones that don't deal with all these controversial issues. That's not it, though. Pfizer also must face a lawsuit over diversity fellowship programs, says a U.S. court. U.S. Appeals Court on Friday revived a lawsuit by a conservative group opposed to diversity initiatives in medicine that challenged a Pfizer fellowship program designed to boost the pipeline of Black, Latino, and Native American people in leadership positions at the drug maker. At the urging of the group Do No Harm, a 2-to-1 panel of New York-based Second U.S. Court of Appeals revisited a decision it issued last year, holding that the organization lacked legal standing to challenge the drug makers program in court. Basically, they just admitted a pretty large mistake in their ruling and revised it. The earlier decision had raised the bar for groups like Do No Harm to pursue similar cases on behalf of their membership, by finding that they needed to identify members who were affected by the alleged discrimination they were suing over by name. Do No Harm and other conservative advocacy groups had urged the second group to reconsider that holding, which they said would chill civil rights litigation by exposing individuals to harassment and retaliation if their identities were revealed. Of course, this would be true if you come out and your name's in the media and people know who you are. You're going to get targeted in a myriad of ways. So this is the way to avoid that. And this, there should be some shield for people who want to bring claims like this. So we've seen, and we've brought up, I mean, a dozen or two examples. I know Walmart was one of them. McDonald's just did this. Of course, you also have Facebook, which is kind of the biggest high profile one, saying, we're not doing these fact checking things anymore. We're not going to stop you from questioning people's gender. You think Caitlyn Jenner is still Bruce Jenner? Well, I mean, we might not agree with you at Facebook, but we're going to still let you talk about that online because that's what people are talking about. That's the conversation among regular people, and that's what we want to host. We'll see if these things wind up having a shelf life beyond the inauguration, right? The inauguration's right around the corner, and that's another potential explanation for all of this. Look, Donald Trump is coming into power. He's threatened a lot of these companies, get your act together or I'm coming after you. And so they're, quote unquote, getting their act together, whether they mean it or not. Again, either one of these things that I've brought up so far and any of the others that we've talked about on previous shows, they're all good, right? Whether it's a real conversion for Mark Zuckerberg, or he's terrified of lawsuits, or he's terrified of Donald Trump trying to enforce the actual Constitution, or whether it's just generalized pressure from the people, whatever it is a positive outcome. Now, not every company is going to do this. Real left-wing companies will stick by their DEI nonsense, at least until they wind up getting burned in court by it. And that's okay, I think. You know, I don't necessarily like it. But, like, if you're going to be an outward left-wing company that has no desire to bring in any conservative or even moderate people, you could probably do some of these things. That's the line, the real, and you're going to have conservative companies that never did it, right? We talk about them a lot on the air as they're sponsors of the show. The bigger issue is these sort of medium companies, these companies that have always operated under old-timey capitalism, McDonald's, Walmart, right? Like, these are companies that shouldn't be trying to please the ESG beasts, the DEI beasts. They should be trying to sell you crap. And if you make good products, and if you want our products, you can come get it. Like, that should be where they are. They are starting to turn back to that. I think we even saw that with Budweiser. You're not going to see that with Apple, though. Apple is backing its diversity policies, calling anti-DEI proposal restricting. Apple Board of Directors has recommended shareholders vote against a conservative think tank's proposal to consider scrapping the tech's diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. National Center for Public Policy Research notified Apple in September that it intends to submit an anti-DEI proposal at Apple's annual shareholder meeting on February 25th. If passed by shareholders, it would require Apple to consider eliminating some or all of its DEI policies. But Apple said the proposal inappropriately attempts to restrict and micromanage company operations and policies. The company also said it has a well-established compliance program and its board actively manages business and legal conduct to ensure it complies with laws in multiple jurisdictions. I mean, that's, you know, obviously corporate speak, but they want to keep that, right? They want to keep their DEI proposals and probably will be able to for a long, long time, unless courts shoot it down, which is possible at this point. But what's fascinating about all of this is the reaction to Starbucks was so ridiculous. They closed all their restaurants to do racial bias training. It was so ridiculous at the time, and it felt ridiculous to us at the time, but it didn't feel ridiculous to half the country, maybe even more at the time. A lot of people said, damn, this is the right thing to do. Oh, wow, it's good. Hey, look, racism is bad. And even if this isn't really their fault, this particular incident, you know, hey, what's the problem with closing down your restaurants for a day and focusing on racism? Racism's bad. And of course, racism is bad, but it's also bad to close down your restaurants and act as if you have a racism problem if you don't. This sort of like kneeling at the altar of DEI, this weird ritual that a lot of companies got into in the past 5 or 6 years is so insultingly stupid to so many people, and now is actually starting to turn around. That's a real, real positive. You wonder, is the pendulum swinging back? I think the answer to that is yes. I keep thinking of this as a long journey, and there's a peak of all of this nonsense, and then it will slowly start to go away. I think we're at that period where it's slowly starting to go away, but it is not gone yet. And the road that all of this goes to, if it is not turned around, if you let DEI and CRT and ESG and so many other things, environmental causes, all this nonsense that they've been pushing forever on the left, if you let it go and you let it go and you let it go and you don't stop it and it just keeps continuing to pick up steam like a snowball going down the hill, getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, what happens to you is what's happening to California. That's what happens to you. You might say, well, my entire city's going to burn down if I you know, stick with ESG and DEI. Yes. Yes, it will. It will. It might not look exactly like California. It might not be actual fire. It might be something a little bit different. But yes, your cities will burn down. They might burn to the ground the way Detroit burned to the ground. It didn't actually need a fire to crumble. And in California, yes, you have the literal example of everything that happens when you have unobstructed progressive leadership over a long period of time. When that happens, yes, your city does burn to the ground. I'm sorry, that is the way it ends. Every single time. It might look a little bit different. It might not be as hot. You might not have to dodge actual flames, but you'll probably be dodging criminals and bullets and crime and corruption and a downtown that looks like a nuclear bomb went off in it. That's reality. That's where this goes. And you ask yourself the question, why are they doing this? Is it fear of legal repercussions? Maybe. Is it an honest change? Maybe. Is it fear of Donald Trump? Maybe. But I think more than fear of Donald Trump, what we're seeing now is the fear of common sense returning to America. These people aren't in the habit of just adopting conservative policies or even neutral ones. They want to go left if they can get away with it. But a lot of these companies now are forced to go back to the center or maybe even to the sane. Why? Because that's where you live. They want you, and they know they can't have you if they act insane. And again, no matter what policy, no matter what idea, no matter what explanation you come up with to explain what is going on with companies and the media and, you know, sometimes even some Democratic representatives are going. Look at, you know, John Fetterman's an example of this. The reason you're seeing that is not, it's not, I don't think, fear of Donald Trump. It's fear of the American people and the common sense that they hold. But no matter what, honestly, explanation you come up with, the end result is good. It's positive. It's, you know, this is, you might say, well, these aren't even real conversions for these companies. Right. I don't expect a real conversion. I would love a real conversion. It'd be great if American companies just embraced free speech again. That would be great. But, and I'll root for that every single day. I'm going to root for it with Mark Zuckerberg. I hope it is legitimate. But even if it isn't, this is why a few weeks ago, it's cold outside. You decide to go out to the voting booth, right? That's why you did that. You did that to create an environment in which these companies and America would move, right? They're doing this to kowtow to you because you spoke out. You sent a message, and that message was freaking received. That is a really positive story as we end this new, end last year and go into a new year. So we're going to talk about that. There's some changes in the media that I think are positive as well. We'll talk about those with Rob Eno. He's next.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
So we hit our 1,000 episodes, a few days ago. And we did do a list of our top most frequent guests. And on that list, on the Blaze side, number 5 is Pat Gray, but also Rob Eno, tied at 30 appearances. Rob is here for number 31. Rob, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I feel that if Pat wasn't sick, you know, didn't go into the hospital and almost die from the diabetes, I probably would have been on the list.
Right.
And you've been, it's nice that he's still here. So
you've been not on the verge of death the entire time. So
exactly.
You've been able to do it, and we appreciate your consistency.
Now, who's Dan Andros? I don't know.
Oh, he's just
He's a Blaze guy?
He was a Blaze guy. I think it counts. Okay. I've had some pushback on that one, but. The other thing was we put Dan on the other list, and then he'd be way ahead on the other list. He'd be like 81, and Drew Holden had us like 18.
Okay.
So he'd have a huge, massive list. I don't know. It's, you know, look. Well, we'll just put Dan on his own list. Top Andros guests.
Top people named Andros.
Yes, there we go. Let me talk about some of the bottom feeders in our media rather than the top echelon as yourself. Jen Rubin, she is at the Washington Post. You look at the media stuff all the time, and I see a lot of Jen Rubin stuff online. A lot of people retweet her tweets. She's kind of a real object of scorn of most online right people. And they always refer to her as the conservative columnist over at Washington Post. It's been so long. I don't even remember. Was she at one point a conservative?
Yes. She was the conservative columnist at the Washington Post. I mean, I think she stopped being conservative in 2002.
Yeah, right.
Which might have been like 2 days after she got the job. I don't know when she got the job, but like it's
a long time.
She's a rhino, a bushy, quote unquote conservative, a compassionate conservative.
The things I hear her say have nothing to do with even Bush conservative, like or even like mild Republicanism. Like she just seems like a hardcore liberal, and ever since I can remember seeing her stuff online, that's all I can remember.
I think. She's a neocon. She's a pro-Israel, more global war on terror type conservative.
Okay.
Which isn't where the movement, they're pro-Israel, but isn't where the bulk of the movement is now.
Right.
She's, I think, like many conservatives, like, you know, Bill Kristol. Other people used to be like the stalwarts of the conservative movement. I mean, they had the Weekly Standard once upon a time. Trump broke them. And that's what happened to Jen Rubin. Trump absolutely broke.
Because that does seem like the transition time for her, right? She was, I'm not saying she was some hardcore conservative, but she had some Republican leanings up until Trump. She's turned as sort of a never Trump Republican and was branded that way for a while, but over time really just turned into a really far left Democrat.
Right. I mean, how could you dare question that anything was wrong with any elections because our government is the greatest people on the face of the earth? I mean, that she's a process person. She's a like those 2000s. Republicans were. They believe in quote unquote good government, and the government would never lie to you. And like the boomer con stuff where they're like, oh man, no, the government would never.
I just see a distinction between someone who was, you know, pro Bush, pro Iraq war, that still believed in low taxes and still was, against Roe versus Wade. Right.
Right.
Jen Rubin doesn't show any of the signs of those things.
No, I don't think she ever was. I don't think she ever was. She was probably in the Christy Todd Whitman.
Right.
I think that if you put an R next to your name, you were considered a conservative.
Yes.
Because
and
you were to the
forever.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that that's where she got the conservative.
Because like, what's the lady, the name escapes me, who is on The View, who they always say was like ran Republican campaigns.
Anna Cardenas. Cardenas? Yeah, she did. She was
Navarro?
Navarro.
Is it Anna Navarro?
Yeah. Okay. She was a huge, like, South Miami, South Florida consultant. Like, I think she was one of Jeb Bush's consultants. I mean, she was a huge.
She was.
Yeah. And she actually was. Again, Trump broke her.
Mm-hmm. And now she, again, never says anything that could be even associated with Jeb Bush conservatism, which, again, is not that conservative, but, like, had a profile, right? Like,
well, Jeb was a heck of a lot more conservative than his brother was.
I mean, Jeb had a pretty good run as governor in Florida. So Rubin, Jennifer Rubin, she's the columnist. Again, we got kind of off track there. Jennifer Rubin, supposedly Republican columnist, turns into this liberal in the Trump era. And a really fascinating thing happened when the LA Times decided they were not going to Kamala they were not going to, give her the honor of endorsing her. And Jennifer Rubin came out and was just like, I can't believe this. Why aren't these columnists leaving? You know, blah, 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 blah. She loses her mind over this. And then like 2 days later, her paper does the same thing. Of course, she stays. However, I guess it looks like this is finally over.
Right. Yeah, she's leaving. She's starting some sort of Viva La Resistance blog of some sort.
Like a Substack-y type thing?
Like a Substack, yeah. They're all going to, everybody's going to Substack. And it's actually, there's some interesting stuff that's happening on Substack. But yeah, so she's going to Substack with some other person, and it's going to be, you know, they're going to, like the Bulwark and all of those other former Republican, former conservative writers are going to stand athwart history and stop Trump from becoming Hitler. I mean, so, you know, we got that.
I'm sure it's going to work, too. Yeah. There you go.
Well, Trump's not going to become Hitler.
That's what I mean. He's not. So they're going to be successful for them, apparently, because he's not going to turn into Hitler. Let's go over to MSNBC. Now, MSNBC is kind of moving in this interesting direction as well, because what you can say about the LA Times and the Washington Post is both of their moves, I think, were in good directions. Like, I don't have hope for these necessarily for these papers long term, but like not endorsing liberal candidates every single time they're up, I think is a good move. Even if you don't mean it, it's at least sending the signal to your audience you're trying to be neutral, right? MSNBC is kind of going the other direction. They're just like, all right, we're embracing this. We're going full resistance. They're bringing Rachel Maddow back, even though she already works there.
Every night, like, instead of like the one night a week.
Right.
Kind of like the, what was it, the John Stewart, I only do one night a week during the election.
Yeah.
Host of The Daily Show. So, yeah. So they're bringing her back. It makes sense. I mean, they carve out that niche. Fox carves out from the right, and then CNN tries to be in the middle. They never are. They're more further to the left. But, you know, there's, as long as you're honest about it, I don't care.
Yeah, I think that's true.
If you're on, and I think that they get to be honest with Comcast spinning off MSNBC, them becoming their own channel. I mean, they'll have a contract with NBC News, but I don't think they'll be as entwined with NBC News as they once were, as they are now. I mean, MSNBC is basically NBC News. It's a cable arm of NBC News. Chuck Todd's leaving NBC and MSNBC, so he's gone. He doesn't even have his, like, they threw him, like, in a corner somewhere after they took Meet the Press away from him. He's gone. And he may be too, you know, old school, straight, even though he's super left, he's not, you know, AOC, progressive left.
Right.
And that's what they're going to. They're going to become Viva La Resistance.
Do you think, Rob, this works again? Because I think you could argue in 2017 to 2021, Trump is president. MSNBC goes to this, like, we're just going to be super anti-everything. So does CNN. And I would take out, forget journalism, forget the truth, forget human decency. Just go to business. I think it works for them for that time. Like, their ratings are up. They've got a lot of big advertisers. They all their programs are kind of hot. They increase their ratings. Trump goes away. Their businesses all dissolve. Right. Does this work again?
I think it nichely works. I don't think that the vast quantity of America are going to walk.
I've never heard the word nichely. It's a great word.
Like, if it's not a word, it needs to be a word. So I make up my own words. Niche-wise, it works. Maybe that's the more correct adverb.
I like nichely. I think we stick with it.
Works. And I think that they see it. I mean, there's all kinds of... We have consumers of media that grew up with iPods that will do exactly what they want to hear in a very narrow sense.
Right.
And I think that that works for them, right? I think that that works for MSNBC, that, you know, you're talking in a very narrow sense. Now, will advertisers come as hard as they did? I think you're seeing with Meta stopping fact checking at some point in time in the future. I mean, you'll remember we at The Blaze stopped advertisements because we couldn't have people weren't running ads on our site because of the fact checkers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we completely went to a subscription-only model, and thank you to all of our subscribers that subscribe and help us, you know, pay the bills. So we went to that subscription model without advertising on the written side. We still have advertising on podcasts and things like that, but we don't on the written side. And I think that who knows if that comes back to us, right? With a lot of these fact-checking organizations getting millions of dollars. I think Facebook spent $100 million on fact-checking since 2016 to fund these people. To stop truth from coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the end.
Well, it could be, because it's interesting, because, you know, I mean, Zuckerberg's presentation of what occurred during the Biden era is both informative and obviously false, right? Like, yes, I think it is informative to hear that he's complaining about Biden, and these calls were made and these emails were sent harassing people at Facebook. You know, his presentation of it is like, they told us we'd pull true stuff down and we wouldn't. It's like, okay, that's not true.
Because we could have Daniel Horowitz on here and talk about that for hours and hours.
And they still are. I mean, right now, this isn't even in place yet. But on the other hand, like, it does seem like a real signal of something that's changing. I was just talking about this in the last segment. Like, these companies, whether they mean it or they just feel like they're afraid of Trump, or they feel like they're afraid of the American people, or they just feel like they're reading the room and they think the room is changing, whatever is changing them and then making these public anti-DEI statements and policy changes, that's really good.
Well, it's very good. And a lot of it's on the anti-DEI stuff, DEI. It's litigation.
Yeah.
The America First Legal Foundation has been very successful in suing these companies to stop it. You see American Airlines, the pilots union, just sued successfully America Airlines for being too woke in their directment of funds. And because they were supposed to be fiduciarily responsible for the 401k funds of the American Airlines Pilots Union, and they were not, and they underperformed the market, and a judge said, "No, American Airlines, you have to make up the difference."
Yeah, because
they're winning
in
courts.
DEI funds, right?
It was DEI funds. It was, you know, woke ESG type funds, and I think that is driving this more. The whole thing that you interview seven African American or Hispanic or whatever they are, or LGBTQ trigender people before you interview a white guy, is patently unconstitutional. It is discrimination in a different way. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say that racism, if you don't hold power, that's not what the Constitution says, right? Yeah. That's what your Harvard think tank says, but that's not what the law is. And a lot of this is more being driven by corporate America being scared to heck that they're going to get sued into oblivion than I think that it is with any concrete change in.
I'll be interested if they can really do, because like the Rooney Rule in the NFL pops to mind.
Oh, I'm a Patriots fan. That was the most embarrassing. It was the most embarrassingly ridiculous use. We all knew that Mike Vrabel was going to be the coach of the New England Patriots. We all knew that Mike Vrabel was probably going to be the coach of the New England Patriots 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the guy changed his social media profiles to have him in Patriots gear on the morning that Gerard Mayo coached his last game, and they had black guys in to basically play minstrel.
It's really ridiculous.
To the camera.
Awful for them, you know?
It's racist.
Yes.
The Rooney Rule is actually racist.
Yeah, in case you don't know the Rooney Rule, there's a requirement in the NFL when you're hiring a new coach, and it goes to coordinators and stuff too, but you have to bring in two minority candidates. Supposedly this is some woke rule that like makes more African Americans get hired or whatever. But like when you know you're going one direction, what the Patriots did was just pick a couple of African Americans that were, you know, were qualified.
We're about to do the same thing with the offensive coordinator. We all know that Josh McDaniels is going to be the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots.
And so they fly in, you know, what was it, Leftwich and one other guy.
Yeah.
And they just do these like fake interviews with them. And these poor guys have to fly in and listen to these interviews and do them, even though they know they're not getting the job. It's so inherently stupid.
At least during COVID, it would have been a Zoom.
Yeah, that's true. Just a couple of minutes. That's true. I know. They should just bring back the Zoom for these guys. It's just unfair to them. But, you know, this is there's still remnants of this in our society. And we have to remember that. You have to keep fighting it because it's not gone yet. I do think we're over the hump a little bit.
I do too.
And that's positive. Rob Eno, who is over the hump into now fifth place solo. Pat Gray is out. He's off the list. Pat is now 30 appearances. Rob at 31. Congratulations, Rob.
Thank you. We got to keep this up.
Yeah, I got to do this. I love it. Rob Eno, resident media critic here at Blaze TV. Make sure to, what should people subscribe? What should people subscribe to at the Blaze? Obviously, Blaze TV.
Email. Just go to the email. Go to theblaze.com/newsletters. You get all our newsletters.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great politics newsletter with Chris Bedford.
Oh, yeah.
Great. He's got a great newsletter that comes out three times a week. We've got Liz Wheeler's got a great newsletter.
Really? That's great.
Yeah, we got a lot of
great stuff.
We got a lot of great news.
I'm too lazy to do one. It's too much work. All right, Liz is a hard worker. I've been here too long. I'm too lazy to do.
Well, you get like four shows.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Rob, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for me.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
Joe Biden is making a series of speeches about, you know, kind of setting his legacy up here for the future. As war rages in Europe and the Middle East, Biden delivers farewell foreign policy speech suggesting he made the world safer. Obviously, this is a completely insane point and not true at all. But I would add to it, isn't it amazing you didn't hear about it? Like, isn't what's supposed to be happening right now is a president is outgoing and that president is making all these big speeches and everyone's like, wow, this is, they're really dissecting his legacy. Actually, it feels like he was no longer president and hasn't been president in 6 months. That's what it feels like. So I no one cares about that. Now, Hegseth is out there. He did the confirmation hearing today. It was, you know, typical bizarre questioning from people like Kirsten Gillibrand. And, you know, it's typical. You don't like women. You don't like the LGBTQIA2+ community. That whole thing going on. They're coming after him saying, you know, all the allegations that we've covered on Hegseth. He seemed to handle himself very well. Unless there's a huge additional scandal or something else that breaks, I think he's got now a pretty good chance of being confirmed. And that was not necessarily believed to be the thing. I mean, I remember looking at one of the markets at Kalshi or something, and it was like at 14% for Pete Hegseth to be confirmed. Now, last I saw it, was at 75. It's probably higher after today. We will see where that goes. The special counsel report came out. Jack Smith, huge, a man of justice, okay? Special counsel report says that Trump would have been convicted in the election case. The report, which says special counsel's effort stood fully behind the merits of the prosecution, amounted to an extraordinary rebuke of the president-elect. And basically, like, they just came out and said, ah, he would have been guilty. You know, like, it's like, oh, well, you lost the Super Bowl. Well, we would have won if we didn't get all those bad calls. And all our players weren't hurt, and we had talented players, and we had a good game plan and good coaching and a stadium that we play the game in, and we actually knew what football was. That's kind of where he is right now, this sort of pleading to please remember me more positively than you otherwise will. He's now resigning and everything else, but that's basically all it was. I mean, it was just basically him saying, you know, he was going to, he would have had the convictions that he was not able to actually get. And finally, John Fetterman. That's a bizarre story. Anything with John Fetterman is always bizarre. But John Fetterman, he had a meeting with Donald Trump, said he was a common sense person. He's not liberal or conservative. He's just a common sense person, which is beautiful. That's what Trump said, about Fetterman. Trump said it was a totally fascinating meeting. He's a fascinating man. His wife is lovely. They were both up. I couldn't be more impressed. Fetterman said he's the senator of all Pennsylvanians, not just Democrats in Pennsylvania. I will say, you know, Fetterman was one of those guys, like, looking at his past and projecting that into his time in the Senate. First of all, it didn't seem like he was mentally or physically able to do the job. And I would kind of stand by that one. I don't think he certainly should have been elected by any means. And I do think that he still has pretty severe health problems that, you know, can hamper him, though he has recovered at some level. I think the risk was there to not elect him. But otherwise, I kind of also looked at his belief history and really thought he was going to go kind of AOC in the Senate in Pennsylvania. He has not been that, to be fair. It's something I definitely got wrong over the first 1,000 episodes of the show. He has not at least operated that way. Now, his voting record is still very liberal, but he's been good on things like Israel. He's been open to certain aspects of sanity. He's a Democrat, and I'm still going to disagree with him on a lot of things, but he's been better than expected. I would say the same thing about Kyrsten Sinema, better than I expected when she was in the Senate. So that's kind of where we are right now. Who knows what he's going to vote for tomorrow? I do think he's wrong on still 90% of things, but 90% of things from a Democrat being wrong on is actually a really positive development. If we could get more 90% wrong Democrats, the country would be in a much better position. I mean, if they could be right on 10% of things, it would be a freaking miracle. So we'll look forward to that turning around with all the other Democrats in the Senate very, very soon. America's team, the Philadelphia Eagles, are going to be taking on the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday in the divisional round of the playoffs. One interesting development from the previous game for the Eagles is A.J. Brown, their star receiver, quite possibly the best receiver in the NFL, arguably. He's in the top three or four for sure. And he was on the sidelines reading a book during the game. And people were freaking out. I heard a lot of commentators be like, this guy is, I can't believe he's all mad at not getting the ball. And so he's just over there reading a book, acting like he doesn't care. Not at all true. And none of them bothered to look into actually the situation, considering he has been reading this book for a long time on the sidelines, including in games where he got the ball a lot and scored a lot of touchdowns. But the book's name was Inner Excellence, Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance and the Best Possible Life. It's by Jim Murphy and is now soaring to the top of Amazon. Because of people like me. I almost bought it, not yet. I just don't want it to be too new agey. So I gotta check out, is it new agey or is it like cool things to learn about yourself and how to, I don't know. I'm gonna do that analysis. I'll let you know if I wind up purchasing it.